Let's turn in our Bibles. We're going to start. It's a bit one of those mornings, I'm not sure, but I believe the Holy Spirit will lead me. So we're going to begin in Joshua and see where we get to. Is that okay? Well, it might be okay for you, but I'm out in the water here. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you have something for each one of us this morning, something you want to speak, something that you want to tweak, to change our thinking, to bring everything in line with your will so that our lives will work as wonderfully as you intend. And so, Father, we thank you for your good, perfect, and pleasing will. We pray for your help, Holy Spirit, both to speak and to listen and receive from your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm sure, like you, you've been praying for our world recently. And in the last few days, things have heightened in the nations and in Iraq and Syria, with the US and coalition of many governments coming together to see what they can do about the Islamic State, the ISIS or IS, that has been perpetrating nothing but evil in that part of the world. And, you know, we are living in a time where actually these decisions will alter the course both of our nation and the whole world. And so when God calls us to pray for our leaders and all in authority, it's because he wants to use our prayers to influence world decisions with his kingdom and his will. And God forbid it that we don't pray, because the issue is that prayer changes things and that we can see God's will influence these enormous decisions. And, you know, these leaders are making decisions because we kind of voted them in one way or another. The states voted Obama in. We voted Cameron in. And we are to respect all that are in authority and pray for them, no matter what your political persuasions might be. We also live in a time in our own nation where Scotland are having a referendum this week, which gives them freedom as a people up there to vote yes or no, in or out. And these are big generational decisions. And I thank God that I am not either David Cameron or any leader in Scotland. I suppose if I was, he would give me the grace to know what to do. But in all of these situations, I think we can see that unless we really know the Lord and have a real relationship with Jesus, we don't even know what to do with our own lives, let alone nations. Don't know if you'd be humble enough to admit that. But without Jesus, I haven't got a clue. And without the Lord helping me and speaking to me and working in me, I don't know what to do. And I think if I was Scottish, living in Edinburgh or wherever, I would definitely, as a believer, submit my decision to Jesus. Because do you know something about the Lord? He doesn't just know what's going on now. He knows what will happen in 10 years or 100 years. Or even he knows the end game, where one day Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, will return. And there won't be anyone that won't bow their knee. It says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so we are currently, if we are believers with Jesus Christ as our Lord, we're on the winning side. We're in the right kingdom. And it's not the kingdom of Scotland. And it's not the kingdom of England, and it's not the kingdom of any other nation, it's the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, we need to see things and see life through God's glasses. Otherwise, everything that we think is going to be polluted by the information we might have received from someone who may not have the right information. Have you ever made a decision and it wasn't the right information that you were given? Have you ever chosen a life-changing, made a life-changing choice and actually it ended up a mess? And I believe that we can consult the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And because we are in relationship with Him, we can hear His voice saying, do this, do that, think this way, think according to my word and my will. Because if we do, we know then that all things will work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to His purpose, the scripture says. Not our own, but His. And so, decisions affect us, whether it's world leaders, whether it's our own government, whether it's Scotland. The decisions will affect us. And I have been praying, Lord, let your kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy come, and your will be done. And I also know the need in my own life to hear the Lord about my own personal decisions, not just my decisions or our decisions as a leadership. I don't get up this morning to say that I already knew what I was preaching, because I'm trusting the Lord to bring His word to us today. And I never, and we never get up without praying and hearing the Lord first, because He is the only one who knows. And actually, He is the only one who is qualified to give the right decisions in life, to help us make the right choices. Now, we started on Wednesday at church together. It was a very powerful evening. It's one of the a watershed, I believe, of the will of God for us. But we're going to look back at that for those of you who weren't able to be here or didn't come. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. I thought you'd hear the word of the Lord anyway. Put yourself under the word of God and let Him influence you this morning. And it's this exciting time in the people of God, in the nation that is called a special chosen people, Israel, and we could say the church too, is God's special people called out from the nations to serve the living God. Do you know you've been called out to serve the Lord? You are in Christ to serve Him. And Joshua, he knows that God has promised them the whole land, and it's called the Promised Land, that everything good that God had intended for His people was actually in this land. And we can think of this as though we are in Christ, because in Christ, everything that God intends that is good for you and for me is found. All good things are in Christ. Therefore, if you are in Christ through faith in accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are in the promised land, where every promise of God is yes and amen. In Christ Jesus. Not in yourself, not living as though, you know, you're not a believer, but in Jesus is every good thing, and we are in Christ. And so you could say Joshua is at the beginning of coming in to possess what God has already given him. And that's the reality of the Christian life. We are here to experience and possess every good thing that God has promised in His Word. We're to live in it, to experience the peace, experience the prosperity, experience the purpose of God for our lives, to experience His plan and destiny. Not just to have the promises and say, well, maybe when I get to heaven, it'll be fulfilled. Because actually, in Joshua's lifetime, the scripture says all the promises of God were fulfilled. Now, God is actually saying over your life this morning, I want to fulfill every promise. Wow. And so it's a great future they're launching out into. Joshua's leading the people. And he has this, let's just read this encounter with God, verse 13. When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. I just love those words. And if you are a believer, you will love them too. Because you have a spirit, you have a new spirit and a new heart that wants to obey your commander. Does anybody really resonate with those words? As commander of the Lord's army, I have now come. That's what the Lord says. Anybody goes, whoopee, that sounds good to me. Because if you don't, then it's either your flesh or you're not a believer yet. Because you've got a new spirit, and that spirit, your heart, actually wants to obey God. But there's a part of you called your flesh, your own selfish independence, still wants to do its own thing. But these are amazing words if you love Jesus, and you've made Him your Lord and Savior. You'll say, oh yes, Lord, I want this. As commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did. See, Joshua had this balance at this moment. Of God, I know, loves me and has got a great plan for us. But the other side of the coin is, He's God. And I need to fall down and bow before Him. And this healthy balance of all good things are mine in Christ. I'm a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus. It's awesome who God has made me in Christ. And I must bow because He's King, is actually the right balance of the Christian life. One without the other will make your life go in the wrong direction. You need to know He loves you. You need to know He's got an amazing plan for your life. But you also need to know He's come to command you and to say, this is what I'm saying, that this is what you're called to do. And this is what I want for your life. Which is why He has given us His Word. Now, we honor and preach the Word of God here. But I wonder if in our experience we really do live under God's Word. Or are we living under our own opinions or ideas or agendas? Because actually, God hasn't left it too much of a mystery what His will is. Has anybody read the New Testament where it says, love one another as I have loved you? So how many of you know God's will? Okay. And He's come to be the commander of His army, the church of Jesus Christ. And I believe that in everything we can know His will. Whether we find His word on it, or whether the Holy Spirit living in us kind of gives us the witness, or kind of we sense and we know what God is saying in a particular moment. Because we are to be led by His Word and Spirit and not by our own thinking and reasoning or political persuasion or prejudice. And this is the success of Joshua's life. In this moment, he is understanding that if I bow to the Lord as my commander, he will lead me in victory to conquer everything and to be successful. This is the key moment, the strategy of all strategies to win. Not to stand up and fight the will of God, which sometimes you and I have. Has anybody ever fought what God says? Yes. But to bow and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And I believe that in the world scene, things are so dark out there. They need the light. But I believe too that the church needs to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, not our own, so that we can bring the light of Jesus and the life of Jesus to our dark world. We are in days where such evil, even in normal warfare, is being perpetrated. Some of you may not even know, I wept this morning at the news that an aid worker from the UK was beheaded last night. That's our first from this country that we know about. And all I can say is, there is such an evil going on in these days. And that these people are wicked. And the devil has got hold of their lives to such an extent that their whole minds are warped with wrong thinking, wrong ideologies, and inspired by, I believe, demonic, because Jesus said the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, I've come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness. And you know the difference between this kingdom of darkness, which is to kill, steal, and destroy, and the kingdom of God is so important, because the kingdom of darkness forces submission and takes control of people. But the kingdom of God, where Jesus is Lord and King, gives us the freedom to choose. And even though the Lord stood before Joshua at that point and said, I've come as commander of your life, whoever you are, dearly beloved believer, Jesus hasn't come just to save you. He's come to be Lord. And only those who confess him as Lord can be saved and live out the life. Jesus said, some people said, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? And to say Lord means we're saying he is the governing authority of my life. But ISIS, reflecting, I believe, the extremities of satanic power, forces submission and has wrecked and ruined whole cultures. Our brothers and sisters have suffered so much that I didn't even mention it this morning. Children in these nations, because they want to force every knee to bow. They want to force everyone, and they will use evil to bring people under. Now, our Jesus isn't like that. He is a good king, and he says, I've come to lead. It's your choice if you bow. Isn't that wonderful? He's given you free choice. Until the day when he returns and no one will have a choice, because every knee will bow at that time. Every one of these wicked militants will one day bow before the judge of the living and the dead. And so will we. But I pray that we will bow at that moment when we meet him as believers who surrendered our lives in this life to inherit eternal life forever in the next. And so Joshua had a choice even when God came and said, I've come. I haven't come to take sides. You see, God isn't on the Scotland independence side. What a shock. Nor he is, I believe he gives wisdom to leaders, but he's come to be Lord. And we are the church. We're the called out ones. That's what means church. That's what church means. We've been called out to surrender to him and live for his plan and purpose in this generation. And basically, the Lord was saying to this very qualified already leader, you aren't qualified to lead your own life. I am. And if I'm honest, that's why I pray for David Cameron. He ain't qualified in himself. He needs God. And so that's why we need to pray. And there is no leader on earth that doesn't need Jesus. And for you as well. Every individual needs Jesus. A good shepherd. Because we don't. It comes even down to the simple decisions of life. Who will I marry? How many children will we have? Where will I live? What do I do with my money? What friends do I need to kind of grow close to? Who should I be walking with in this journey? And I've decided to let him decide. Because I honestly don't know the future. And so I make choices and decisions based on what he says. And if I don't know, because he's already told me, or it's already in his word and I know it for a sure and certain fact that that's what he wants, I say, Lord, like Joshua, what is your message to your servant? Like, I don't know how to get the victory in the future. I don't know the future, the right future. Some of you parents, for your kids, to make the right choices so that your kids end up in the right place. We don't know, Lord, but tell us. Speak to us, Father, so that we can make the right decisions. I know I'm not up to leading my own life. And I trust that you know that. But if you and I willingly bow before the Lord, who has come to command, and you know, that's an interesting word. We sometimes can fight that word, but actually he has come as commander. To give orders, a commander of an army actually issues orders. And he issued orders to Joshua that day that did not make sense. Tell you what, Joshua, this is what to do. March round the city, seven times, go round. Just get everybody to shout, and you'll get the victory. And so when this Lord speaks, it doesn't really always make sense to your head. Has anybody ever heard the Lord say something and you think, well, that doesn't make sense to my mind? And at that point, is your brain Lord or is Jesus Lord? Because there are often conflicts in our mind with what Jesus says and what we think. You see, the master of our salvation, the captain of our salvation, he's done an amazing job. That when you were born again, when you accepted Jesus Christ, he gave you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. He put His Holy Spirit in you to cause you to walk in His ways. In other words, to give you that spirit or that heart of obedience to follow Jesus for the rest of your days. So that's your spirit, your heart. But it's not quite like that in your soul yet. Everything isn't quite perfect in your head yet. If I was to look into your mind, which I really don't want to, because I have enough trouble looking at mine. If I was to look in and see, I would see that there's things out of order, there's wrong things in there, that actually the baggage and your opinions or your ideas or your hopes and dreams that are in your head aren't just all suddenly new because you became a new creation. But there's still a whole lot of ways of thinking that actually are not in line with our Commander-in-Chief. That would include my mind. Yeah? And so our thinking needs to change. That's what repentance is. The word repent means to change the way you think. Even though you've changed forever in your spirit, now we need to change the way we think so that however we think will affect the right decisions and purpose for our lives. Because as you think, so you will act. And if your thinking isn't straight, your life will be crooked. If your thinking isn't straight, and there is only one straight, Jesus is the truth, and His word is true, and His spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. You and I can know truth, and the truth will set you free. Isn't that good news? God has a purpose for our lives, but He needs us to change our thinking with His word and spirit so that we can fulfill that purpose. And this week we had an interesting moment. Pastor Andrew and I were in the building here. And we, as a people, a great people that are here, purchased this building 3 years ago. I think it's an amazing miracle. And every year we've taken a floor on. The first year we took on this floor, which was probably the biggest breathe, because this has been a massive change up here. But what we have here is a worship hall that I believe serves God's purpose for teaching, worship, prayer, and the ministry that God wants to do directly from Him to you and from you to Him. It's great. Then the second year we went down on the middle floor and we went through the plans and we eventually came to the decision about the rooms downstairs for the children's ministry and the youth. And we believe that we had God's mind on that, as well as this room. We believe that God has led us all the way through. But we were in the building this week, as we've gone through this summer, the process of refurbing the ground floor. Now, the miracle of that floor, as every floor, is that you and others that aren't here today generously gave for us, well, for the Lord, actually, to make this building fit the purpose of God for it. Because you see, if you think about your life as a building, it needs to fit the purpose of God for your life. I don't know whether you know, but you don't belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price. You don't even belong to you. Isn't that phenomenal that Jesus purchased you? Just as we purchased this building for the Lord, He purchased you with His blood. So you don't even belong to yourself. Of course, there's freedom of choice in all of it, because He doesn't ever force you. But those who follow Him will come into every good thing and will come into that completion of all that He has planned for you in Christ in your future. So we were on the ground floor, And you know, we've gone through a few months of planning and preparing, and I have to say, first of all, that Pastor Andrew has a design gift. Thank God. I can't tell you how much I want to thank God about that for, but she has designed and thought about all the things that are in that room. Now, we went up into the mezzanine floor. Many of you probably don't even know we've got a mezzanine floor over this way that we use for storage, that when we took out the carpet tiles and replaced them with carpet, we put the carpet tiles in there, and there's some old lights, and there's quite a lot of junk up there. And we were shocked as to what actually is up there. It's a bit like maybe a room in your house or your attic. If you go into your roof and your attic, you'd be shocked about actually what is up there. And I'd just like to show you a picture of what we actually saw. We just laughed so much. And if any of these things are yours, don't be offended, but do take them home. Okay, now, would you expect in a church storage building a crash helmet, a washing line, oh, you can't see this 2 mile, a baby buggy? What? When we went up there, it was like, a crash helmet? What do we need that for in this building? A washing line? Okay, a buggy, a pink wig. We've got, oh, there's all, what? A jester's hat. That's even funnier. And you know what? We looked at that and thought, this is hilarious. But isn't that like our minds? That we have junk up there that's taking up good space that shouldn't even be in there. It doesn't fit the purpose of God for your life. And let me tell you, Gail and Jerry are doing a great job shifting some of the stuff people have dropped in. And if I could just add, if you've got stuff that needs to go to the tip or anywhere else, please take them to the tip and not to the church. Is that okay? Because only things in this building are here to serve the vision. Now, if you think about your life like that, the things that are in your mind and in your life should be serving God's vision for your life. It's a good message, this is actually. I wonder what we were going to say this morning, but I quite like it. Do you like it? I think the Lord's coming out with some good stuff here. In your life, what's your purpose? What's your vision? What's God's plan for your life? What are the promises? Are you bowing before the Lord and saying, Lord, what's your message to your servant? I'm not here to try and work out even how I'm going to be all you've called me to be. I'm going to submit to you and say, Lord, your will be done. You see, wrong information stored can take us into the wrong direction. Pressure. If we make decisions out of pressure, do you know what that leads to? Many mistakes. If we make decisions out of people, the crowd, how many of you know majority vote can be wrong? And does anybody here know the church isn't led by majority vote? Hello? The Church of Jesus Christ is a theocracy. In other words, Jesus is Lord. He is the head of his church. We're not led by opinion or vote. And you don't even vote on who gets to be leaders. Because God calls, and God anoints, and God sets in place. Just like you. I don't get to choose what you do. But God's already predestined you for good works. For you to walk in. So we're not man's choice. We're not a product of man's choice. We're a product of God's will. And that's why we need to know in everything the will of God for our lives. And when we're born again, it's like, if I imagine if I was a pilot and I was used to maybe taking trips to, I don't know, Iceland. My coordinates were set that way. And it was becoming, it was a lifestyle. It was everything in the cockpit, it was set. The computers were set. And this plane was going to end up in Iceland. But when I got born again, I needed to reset the coordinates. I know I had a new heart, new spirit, but I had to reset where I was going. So everything in my life, I was used to doing this, going to Iceland. But now God's got me going over the Atlantic to the States. And so I have to change the coordinates of the plane so that it ends up in the right destination. And that's where a lot of Christians mess up their lives, because they're still thinking they're going here as new believers, as people who are new creations, but they haven't repented. They haven't changed the way they think. They haven't come under God's word and said, Lord, your will be done. I'm going to go your way. And that's why, even though you want to do the will of God, because your mind is actually leading your life, not God, you're in the wrong place. You're going to end up in the wrong destination. You're not going to get before the Lord and say, ooh. He won't say, well done, good and faithful servant, because you didn't serve his will. But you need to change your thinking. And I need to change my thinking all the time. It's not like it's an instant thing, is it, to change your mind? It's actually a process of transformation where my mind is being renewed in the knowledge of God and his word, so that I can make the right decisions with my life. And it begins with this bowing, not just in a meeting, but of my mind, where my mind is surrendering to the will of God for me in Christ Jesus. Imagine his church in this nation or all over the world submitted to the mind of Christ. Now, just think about it. Every person here today, completely filled with the knowledge of his will and walking in that, resetting their coordinates and saying, I'm going to go God's way in this. We would have such a move of God that would change everything. Our family life would change. Our financial life would change. Our time would change. People who don't value the will of God for their lives to come and worship him would actually say, it's actually God's will that I do. Backslidden Christians would come back and say, actually, I'm in the wrong place today. I should be in church. Hello. Because it's your will, not mine. Proverbs 3, let's just turn there, and we're going to come pray in a minute. We just need to get rid of a whole lot of junk, don't we? Are you with me? Or are you with the Lord, I mean? So that we think God's thoughts, not just have a little bit of faith for a few miracles, but actually the whole culture and direction and purpose of our lives changes to the mind of Christ. And if we read it in the Bible, say, well, that's it. I'm going to set it in my mind, and that's what I'm going to do, Lord. If I read scripture, it's actually there to change me. And to actually say, okay, I reset my thinking. Of course my believing, but your thinking determines your decisions. And we need decisions that are based on the will of God to actually follow Jesus. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 is a fantastic couple of verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Isn't that interesting? Because we can have our own understanding about life, or we can have God's mind or will on it, which is usually found in his word, but his spirit will also speak to us about things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, does that mean your spiritual ways? Like when you come to church or you come to a church meeting or when you pray at home, is that what he means? Does that what all your ways acknowledge him means? Anybody? It means all. From the moment you get up to the moment you go to bed. All. So whatever your life embraces at work, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, reference the Lord and say, Lord, what are you saying to your servant currently? Because I don't know, you know. I might think I might know, but what are you saying? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path to take possession of the promises. He'll lead you to win. He'll lead you into the success like he led Joshua and the people, because he didn't do things with his own head. He did them because God said it. The word of the Lord led his life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You will go crooked if you think you know the answers yourself. And these are little things. This week, I took my car in for a service, MOT. And I knew the tyres were getting a bit low. But I was told last time I went in, it would last a good time longer than they actually have. So I knew I was facing a bill, but then he came back. The brakes needs new pads, and you need two new tyres. And he said he assumed I was going to go for the cheapest tyres. So he said, we'll get these tyres and we'll sort it out. And I was under pressure because I had planned to go somewhere at 5 o'clock. And that meant the car was going to be delayed. And it was just a bit of a pressure moment. This is why we need the Holy Spirit for everything in life. Because pressure of time, or I've got to make a decision and that decision needs to be made now. And I put the phone down and I said, I just agreed with him. You know how you do with some experts? You just think, well, perhaps I should just agree. I put the phone down and I felt uncomfortable. Has anybody ever done something you're like, oh, this doesn't feel right? And I know that I've budgeted a certain amount of money for my car so that I can do services and take care of the bills. I don't know if you know budgets are good planning. You don't get to pay for your car when you go, where's the money? You've got a budget. Maybe that's a word for someone. You've got a budget for these little things, big things. Anyway, the guy, he was telling me about the price. Even with cheap tyres, it was going to be, whoa, I think that's breaking the budget currently. Anyway, I'm like, but I just didn't feel comfortable. Now, the Bible says that his spirit bears witness with our spirit. And that's one of the ways the Lord leads you, your spirit. You feel uncomfortable if something doesn't feel right, even though it feels right to my head because it's cheaper. Can you feel a conflict going on? It's cheaper, but it doesn't feel right. Now, who's going to win? Is the wisdom of the Spirit going to win, or is my head? Now, that's a very real scenario of leaning not on my own understanding. Because my own understanding was what I have in the account and actually what the man pushed me to do. And so Pastor Andrea also felt uncomfortable, which was actually very, very comforting to me. I said, I don't feel comfortable. She said, I'm not comfortable with that. You need more expensive tires. You need better quality. And I'm calculating, you know, in your own account, you rob Peter to pay Paul. Do you know what I mean? You kind of take a bit out of that to put it into that. And you're thinking, right, I'm going to have to change that and move it around and say, okay, I can just do it. And this is a few hundred pounds this was going to cost me. I rang him back. I said, I'm going to go for really good tires. What are they? Tells me the price. And I went, ooh. I said, well, see if you can get them cheaper. Anyway, I went in like this. Well, Lord, I trust you. I'm sure you said buy those tires. You see, I'm under the commander, and it means for everything. not just my spiritual decisions. And so I went in there, sat down like, you know, almost worse than the dentist at time when you think about the amount of money you've got to pay out. And I'm sitting there like, praise the Lord, I'll give, rejoice in all circumstances. And he came out with a bill and I said, it's £120 less than you said, which is significant, isn't it? £120. He said, surprisingly, I got a deal. Now, if I hadn't listened to the Lord, the Holy Spirit, making me feel uncomfortable, I'd have got cheap for the same price. Now I've got tires. I don't admire them, will you? You know, when I drive past, go, ooh, aren't they nice tires? And, you know, I would rather buy shoes, not shoes for my car. But this is life. And the reality is, and of course you don't buy what you can't afford. You don't go into debt. But at that moment, the Lord said, I want you to buy these. And I did what I didn't think was right. But I knew my heart was right. And that's the Holy Spirit. Because if we lean on our own understanding, we will end up making decisions that in the long run will cost us more. Whether it's financially, relationally, hello, in your destiny, such an important thing to submit your whole life to what God says to do. And we can be led by what we want, can't we? Not on what God wants. And it's a war that can go on all our lives. And the sooner we learn to say, Lord, your will be done, because your will is good, it's perfect, and it's pleasing. And in the end, my life is in your hands. I'm not going to be controlled by money. It's not going to lead me. I'm not going to be led by pressure. I'm going to be led by you. Just to finish back with the building, because I just want to speak a little bit about this building bringing everything under his vision and purpose. I am amazed at how what we received from you to pay for the ground floor has been just enough for the refurb. And that would include the gift aid. We've spent that as well. So kind of like, you know, what you gift aid in terms of your finances. Gift aid is really important because we get finances back. Gift aid everything you give because it's more for the kingdom. But I asked Sandra to check and get back to us about the exact amount we've spent, and it's almost to the pound. But I want to say, did we go through this process with our own thinking? No. We knew we had to do the electrics, and so we asked one of the members of the church, Si, he's not in today, to do the electrics for us. And he came in, and we asked him to give us some advice, because we listen, don't we, to people, because God gives us wisdom sometimes. Not always, but sometimes through people. That's why you've got to be checking out your spirit and know the word as to who you're listening to, and does it work with the Lord and the word. But Si came in and he presented the options and he says, I reckon this is the best one. And we both witness with it. We just, yeah, that seems good. And then, of course, we're into how much. And I mean, the electrics is always going to be the majority of your budget, or your flooring. And that's what we spent most of the budget on. The ceiling and the floor, the things you will never notice, probably. But they're the things that cost the most. But we didn't make any of the decisions based on our own thinking. We didn't lean on our own understanding. We leant on the Lord. We prayed about it. We talked about it. Pastor Andrea has a gift from the Lord for this building, to put everything in place so that it serves the vision for children, for the elderly, for the church meeting there together, for coffee and chats, for maybe cafe nights where we can dim lights and have music and win the lost. It's an amazingly versatile area, which I believe is because we listen to the Lord. We've hit the budget and we've got something great. When I walk in, I just think, oh, fantastic. It's still not finished. And we have been laboring on, we were really finding it difficult about the wall, the lime green wall. You'll see it down there. With the, currently it's got two star lights on it. And we were praying about that wall because we wanted a feature wall. We wanted somewhere with a wow. We want a few places with wow, like the around the kitchen area, the wood around there. That design, Pastor Angie had just found that and Mark's made it. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. Phenomenal. But the Lord said to me, and you know, usually I sort of say, well, if you think it's right, Pastor Angie, do it. But the Lord said to me, I want a speaking wall. And I thought, I said, he told me he wants a speaking wall. Now that could mean an image, because images speak, don't they? But you see, I want you to know that we haven't done any of these things without prayer and asking the Lord. You understand, this project is the Lord's project. Because this building belongs to Him, and we belong to Him, and the vision that He's given us is going to be worked out in this building. And so it needs to serve that vision. And so when I heard speaking wall, I thought, now that is fascinating. And so even then, I think it was the next day, you'd been praying, and she said, I've got it, by George. I've got it. She said, God's told me to have these big wooden letters, paint them in a green, same color, but gloss, so that it shines out from the other lime green. The word shine. Shine. Now, what does that speak? It speaks, doesn't it? It speaks to you and me. Shine. Let your good works shine before men, that they may glorify your Father in heaven. Or shine like stars in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. It's in the Bible, but it's on our wall. And it should speak to us, but it also, I believe, will communicate to people that don't know Jesus. But if we trust the Lord, we can get things that are anointed. Because He gives us the wisdom to put everything in order in our lives so that the purpose of God for you and for us corporately works. Because we're hearing and applying what God says. And I am nothing but overjoyed about the results of downstairs. I could live in this building. I could live up here. I could live on the middle floor. And I just absolutely love that ground floor. I just think it's amazing. There are a few more bits and pieces to come. But life works with Jesus as the commander. And we have to surrender our minds. I think just to finally say from Luke 5, I just mentioned this. Peter was an expert fisherman. And you might be an expert in some areas of your life. Or you might think, no comment, you might think you're an expert in some area. You know, when it comes to your thing, you go, no, get out the way, everybody. I know what I'm doing. Now, Peter, it was his business to be a fisherman, so he knew how to fish. And he knows that fishermen fish the Sea of Galilee. They fish at night because that's the best time to fish. And there comes Jesus, who comes along and uses his boat and says to him having been out all night and caught nothing, Jesus starts to advise an expert on fishing. And I just love this because Peter is learning to find out what it really means to have Jesus as Lord. That means of your business and your working life, not just your spiritual church, prayer life, everything. And Jesus says to Peter, launch out into the deep for a catch. Look, if you're an expert, you'll go, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. That doesn't make sense. He's not a fisherman, not an expert. How can a church leader advise me on what they know nothing about? Because God speaks. I've spoken into businesses, marriages, raising children, because it's God's word that actually is here to run the show. And so the word of the Lord came to Peter when he knew it was the opposite to what you normally did. Lord, we've worked hard all night, but at your word, I will. At your word. In other words, he's learning the commander in chief, the commander of the army is here, and he's come to lead us away from reasoning and into his word. Now, what does this mean for you and me? It means that you'll get a catch, you'll be fruitful, a catch of whatever God has spoken about, you'll see the fruit. It means you'll start to see the supernatural, miraculous power of God in your life and in your work. And it means ultimately that you'll grow in your revelation of who Jesus really is. Because you change the way you think. You reset your coordinates and said, it doesn't make sense to me, Lord, but even if you say it, I'm still going to do it. Isn't that amazing? And so church, individuals, visitors, members of the church, Jesus wants to really change the way we think. In everything, so that we actually have his mind on everything, so that we can be his kingdom people in a world that is desperate for us to bring his kingdom in. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.